again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. I pray that this broadcast today is going to reach the target audience that God wants to reach with His Word. I don't believe that any of this is happening by accident. I believe God is meeting with us during this time by divine appointment. I believe that I'm in the will of God today, and I believe if you're still tuned and you decide to stay tuned, that it is the will of God. And I believe God is going to give us something today from His Word that will encourage us and ignite that passionate love for Jesus in our hearts. If you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, that you will listen and you will understand with great clarity as we bring forth the Word of God today, how much God loves you and the length that He has went to save you. Amen. If you will accept Him as your Savior, if you will accept Christ as your Savior, God will certainly redeem your soul today. So don't turn that dial. If you've listened to Christian music, you've got to have something in your heart for the Lord today. So don't miss the rest of this broadcast. We want to thank you that are listening by computer as well. And those of you that are downloading from our website on podcast, we're grateful for every one of you. We pray that the sermon material, the teachings that you will hear, the preaching under the anointing and live church services, and these broadcasts that are contained on our website, that they're being a blessing to you and to others, praise God. So we just are grateful for a growing listening audience today, amen, because that means people are interested in what God has to say from His Word through the Scripture. Praise God. So with no further ado, we're going to give you our website so we can get into this message today. If you would type in on a search engine, if you're connected to the World Wide Web, just type in THCOG. And it will take you to the Holy Church of God. It's a simple way of getting there. And our homepage will come up. It's in Tampa, Florida. And my name is Robert Venable. And you can find us very easily on the web. And once you get into a website, you can navigate that website very easy. And it's user-friendly. No strings attached, except the Holy Ghost may speak to you and get a hold of you if you start listening to the Word of God. Amen. We have no ulterior motive. We have one great mission, and that is to keep the Great Commission, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and to edify and instruct the body of Christ. That's the ministry mandate that is given us. Amen. And so we pray today. If you're Christian, stay tuned. If you're not a Christian, stay tuned. God certainly wants to speak with you today. And I hear Him when I hear good preaching. And I pray that you'll hear something today that will touch you deeply, profoundly. And if you're not a Christian, it can change your destiny for eternity. So don't miss this broadcast today. We've been talking about the gifts of grace. And I am so excited about bringing a message from the Word of God that is top shelf with God. And that is the great gifts that are ours through the greatest gift of all, from which all of these gifts emanate, and that's the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, today. I want to read a scripture that will set the tone for today's broadcast from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. This just happens to be our recent First Sunday Communion Service scripture that we ministered from to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Listen to 1 John 4 and verse 10. It said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And I'm going to read it from the NIV because it's going to kind of define that word propitiation, which means simply to appease someone who is angry with us, or to appease someone who has aught against us, or in this case, to appease a holy God who is justifiably angry with us because of our sin. But listen, this holy God that is obligated to express his indignation and, yes, his judgment against all who have sinned, and that means all of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He loves us, and he wants not to judge us, but to forgive us, show us mercy. And in order to do that, he had to find a way to still be just and justify us, to still be righteous and just in his judgments. See, God can't just sweep our sin under the rug. He can't just look the other way. But he can and did judge our sins in his Son to appease his own anger with sin. Because while hating the sin, God in fact loves the sinner. Now, you can't go to heaven and you can't escape the judgment to come without receiving Christ as your Savior. But I want you to know that God wants you to escape that judgment. He can't withdraw the judgment, but he can judge our sins in his Son so he can justifiably forgive us. That's getting a little bit of a grasp on this word propitiation, to appease God's holy, righteous anger against sin. But 1 John brings it out because, listen, in the Old Testament, a sacrificial system, a sacrifice had to be offered. The Bible is written, Old and New Covenant and Testament, in sacrificial language. And if you don't understand the sacrificial language and of the Scriptures, we cannot fully appreciate or appropriate what Jesus did for us on the cross. I like the New International because it brings out this word propitiation in a specific way. It said, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son," sacrificial language, "as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." I want to say that again. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, because only an atoning sacrifice could be a propitiation. You know, the Bible went on to say, without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. So the first thing I want to declare today through the Word of God is that atoning sacrifice means that Jesus Christ is perfect and without blemish, without flaw, without sin. He purposely lived a sinless life. He perfectly submitted to God's eternal plan for our salvation. But then remember the teaching of the Old Testament, the atoning sacrifice, the Lamb of Atonement specifically, needed to be perfect in every way. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect atoning sacrifice. He wasn't just a good man dying a martyr's death on that cross. He was God incarnate. He was sinless. You know, none of us can say that today. From the best of us to the worst of us, no one can say, "I am sinless." As a matter of fact, 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean that we're held as Christians by sin's dread sway. We're not shackled. We're not the servants of Satan. We're the servants of God. But it does mean that our flesh is weak, and we are going to have times that we miss the mark. And when we do, we come to God in deep repentance. And when we confess our sin in contrition and repentance, God forgives and God cleanses us. Praise the Lord. Amen. You remember when Jesus first came on the scene to bring forth his public ministry, 3 years of public ministry, and then the cross to consummate. his mission here to take our place and to die for us. When John the Baptist saw him, he made a declaration that is absolutely astounding. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He was literally seeing Jesus by revelation of God as the atoning sacrifice. He saw him as the one who would become the sacrifice lamb, the final lamb that would ever need to be offered to deal with sin and reconciliation to God. You see, this great gift of God's Son to take our place on the cross is the reason for every other gift of grace. You know, the Bible calls righteousness a gift. It calls salvation a gift. All of these words that are used to describe us, that are we who are saved right now, redeemed, ransomed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. All of those words would be meaningless if Jesus had not come to take our place on the cross. We could not be justified. We could not be saved. We could not be reconciled unto God. But all of these gifts flow from a single gift. And that gift is nothing less than God's own Son to die in our place, to shed perfect, sinless blood, atoning blood. Praise God. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, this ransom cannot be compared with diamonds, silver, gold, the treasures of the treasuries of men, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The second thing about the atoning sacrifice means expiation and propitiation. What is the difference? Expiation means Christ's atoning sacrifice does something to sin. Namely, it removes our sin and the guilt of our sin. Our sin is covered as with a blanket. Our guilt has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's called expiation, and actually even deeper than covered in the new covenant, it's cleansed. Praise God. Amen. You know, the Bible said, "It is as it is written, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west." That's an incredible statement. It means God, who knows everything about us, and God who knows every sin of omission and commission and thought and deed we've ever committed, He will disassociate us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. And when He does that, it's called expiation. Amen. Expiation. Our sins are as if we had never sinned. Amen. Glory be to God. Listen, we don't deserve that today. Amen. I can't explain to you in mere words of expression the deep, deep appreciation I have for being completely cleansed from all my sins. Amen. Well, I don't consider myself that great a sinner in terms of the number of awful things that I did in my life. I can't tell you that I was a murderer or some kind of terrible person growing up, but I can tell you this: there's enough guilt and shame with the sins that I did commit that when that load was lifted from me, amen, when love lifted me and that load was lifted off of me of guilt and shame, the freedom that I felt in my soul was inexpressible. Praise God. Amen. The Bible calls it, "Whom having not seen you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Praise God. Amen. Isn't it an exciting thought today that every sin that you've ever had can be forgiven? that you can have your sin expiated today because Jesus has paid that price for you and for me. Amen. Expiation, an atoning sacrifice, allows our sin to be expiated. And it also means that an atoning sacrifice does something in the way God looks upon us. His wrath, His holy anger, His displeasure with sin has been appeased. Don't ever forget that God is holy and righteous. And as such, He hates sin. He is very angry with sin. Jesus, and only Jesus, is able to deal with our sin and God's anger against sin. Only Jesus' sacrifice, offered once for all, is able to give you and I eternal life. Because it's as if we had never sinned in the sight of our gracious and great God. Hebrews 10:11-12 bears this out. It said, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Jesus, friend, was the last lamb. Sin's power is broken. Satan's prison house has been plundered. The perfect sacrifice is offered up. The provision for fallen man's salvation complete. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because what He said on the cross has verified in the fact that He's not standing ministering a sacrifice for our sin. That sacrifice was offered once and for all on the cross, where He cried in His last breath, "It is finished." One great Greek word, tetelestai, which means "it is accomplished," or as in the financial world of that day, "paid in full." If you paid off a mortgage in Jesus' day, they would stamp that document. When you made the last payment, they would stamp it with a word. And the word is tetelestai, and it means "paid in full." But friend of mine, even though Jesus paid the price in full that we could be saved and forgiven, you must repent and receive this gift of grace. About the year 1830, a man named George Wilson killed a government employee who caught him in the act of robbing the mails. He was tried and sentenced to be hanged. However, President Andrew Jackson sent him a pardon. But Wilson did a strange thing. He refused to accept the pardon, so no one knew what to do. So the case was actually, in 1830, carried to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall wrote the court's opinion. In it he said, and I quote, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged." And so he was. What is true for George Wilson is true for us. In order to be justified, in order to go to heaven instead of be lost and punished forever, we must accept the gift that God is offering us. It's a gift of salvation. It is a gift of reconciliation. It is a gift of righteousness because of His grace and mercy toward us. It is the gift of nothing less than His Son. But we have to receive the gift, repent of our sins, and ask Jesus to be our Savior in order to be pardoned. Ah, friend, it would be a foolish thing to not receive such a wonderful gift as this. The Bible warns us about rejecting this gift. It said, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this?" Hebrews 9:26 says, For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice put away sin. The accuser cannot accuse. In heaven's court, our sin is pardoned, and we are acquitted. There was a group some years ago called GLAD, and they wrote a song about this great pardon and acquittedness of our sin. And they said, the chorus of which said, "Oh, be ye glad, every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad." I must say it over and over again, the true Holy Spirit-driven revival that will not be ushered in by a new revelation or someone's personal private anointing, but rather a rediscovering of the exceeding great glory of God's love gift and Christ's atoning sacrifice. When Christians begin to serve the Lord with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things that He hath given us, we are going to see a mighty move of God's Spirit in churches that have kind of fallen into the religious routines. Amen. Someone said a routine is just, and ritual is just a grave with both ends kicked out. Amen. Where we just stay in that rut. I'm telling you something. When the Church of Jesus Christ and when Christians like you and me, friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, get excited about the fact that God has went to this length to save us and Jesus loved us this deeply that He would give Himself as the atoning sacrifice. His blood, which we cannot compare with gold and silver, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Third, the atoning sacrifice means reconciliation. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus means the restoration of peace with God, the removal of enmity, the renewal of a covenant fellowship which was broken by our rebellion against God. When man fell into sin, he entered into a state of enmity with God. He hid from God's presence. He became ashamed. But Christ died so we could be reconciled. Christ died so we could be right with God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 declares, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Every Christian that has come to know Jesus and been reconciled to God is able to go out and lead someone else to Christ. We, corporately, as a body, not just certain ones of us, but collectively, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. And the greatest soul winners are people that go to work every day and interact with your co-worker, the person who takes their cleaning down to that same place and is able to show God's kindness and God's love to somebody behind the counter, even if they lost your cleaning and they have to look to find it. Praise God. Even if your French fries are soggy, lift up Jesus at the window of Mickey D's. Praise God. Amen. Just keep letting your light shine before men, because we have, all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. Through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, God's justifiable anger against sin is vanquished, and relationship with God that was broken by sin is restored. And I want you to know God is the one that came seeking fallen man. He took the love initiative, our scripture said, to begin this teaching. It's not that we loved God initially, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not only did He send His Son, but He sent His Holy Spirit, amen, to come. And to come to you, to come to me and draw us to Christ. When He comes, the Scripture declares He will convince the world of sin. And that means He will convict us. He's not coming to point His finger at us. He's coming to show us, you're wrong with God. You dare not die like this and go out into a Christless eternity. Oh, come to Christ and be saved. Come to Christ. Let me seal you for the day of redemption. Come and lose that burden of guilt. Come and lose that burden of shame. Come and lose the fear of death and what happens after death. Come and be saved. Come and be sealed. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus today. That is the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I know better than anybody. It's not comfortable to be convicted, but it is a grand, gracious, glorious act of God to take the initiative, because in the beginning I didn't love God. He loved me. I didn't seek God, but He sought me. That is the grand difference between Christianity and every world religion. Every, without exception, world religion is man taking the initiative, trying to find a way to climb up to God. Ah, but Christianity is the exact opposite. It is God reaching down to fallen man with His great grace and His great love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I know something about the Holy Spirit. I know He's where you are right now. And if you've listened to this broadcast and you're not a Christian to this point, you are the target of the Holy Spirit's attention right now. And I'm convinced that He's not only convicting you of sin, but He's convincing you that God loves you and that Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior. Would you receive this gift that brings every other gift, this gift of salvation, through the gift of God's Son to you? Would you repent of your sins right now, right where you are, and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and your personal Savior? And if you're a Christian today listening to this broadcast, would you begin this Sunday, starting today, but particularly when you attend church Sunday, been out of church, get back in church. And when you come through that door, come with an appreciation of just what God has done for you when He gave His only begotten Son. And just what Jesus has done for you when He went to the cross to become your atoning sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. Ah, today, friend, today can be a day, if you don't know Him, your destiny can change. If you do know Him, revival can come to your heart as soon as that first love rekindles. Hallelujah. The excitement is going to return. You and Jesus can start a brand new honeymoon experience. Amen. And keep it till He comes. And others are going to see something in us. And we can fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. We can tell them about the great love God has for them and the great plan to save them. We love you today. Don't miss next week's broadcast as we unfold the gifts of grace.